Text line by State Roofing, 98973. When you think of State Roofing, when you think of our text line at 98973, it all makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't it?
Write to us as well at mynorthwest.com. Thanks, State Roofing, for sponsoring, of course, the text line at 98973. I hear a wooden wagon, don't you, Tom?
Hey,
also, what's that?
Unmistakable.
It is. It's a wagon that brings in the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar, who then chooses the letter of the day. I try to explain it to people, and they're like, I don't get it. It's like, what don't you get? And then there's got to be a celebrity holding on to the teeny tiny lady because she's bouncing around on the wagon. You can hear it as the wagon draws closer to the microphone. Let's listen in now.
I want you to stop talking.
I cannot give this demonstration if you keep interrupting me.
I don't care what you want. I asked you to show me where you took out $1,000, and you said, here it is.
Just look inside my backpack.
Neither one of them know that we are listening in. Do they? That's Judge Judy. But it gives you a glimpse that that wagon starts at 8:30.
Judge Judy is always on.
She is.
So maybe she knows.
By the way, that is Jacob in the other room. He's ready to answer the phone calls at 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. Again, 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone to get on the air to play the know-it-all quiz. We ask you 5 questions of stories we have covered all week, even when you weren't here, Tom. And all you got to do is get 1 or 2 right. If you agree with me, if you agree with Tom, he thinks you're smartest, then you have to get 3 or 4 right. And that's the way it works. 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone. Ask Jacob. The last time he pooped, he had diarrhea for the longest time. And he had all sorts of tests and stuff. So find out how Jacob is feeling and when his last BM was.
Now he's saving up.
He is. He's got a problem going the other way. 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone to play the know-it-all quiz. We'll tell you exactly where you're going to win in just a little bit. But first, have I dove in yet?
I
can't remember.
So.
Have I?
Yes,
dove?
You dove in.
All right, explains why I'm all wet. Well, thank you. All right, let's see. Riders are fired up, Tom, because the big change in the voice there when it comes to riding the trains. It seems like they Cairo 7 can explain it.
Between now and mid-March, Sound Transit is adding tracks to connect light rail to the east side and requiring people to switch trains here.
It's a little hectic. Lots of wait time, lots of standing.
But another change, the announcer's voice. From this...
Pioneer Square Station.
To this...
Stand behind the yellow line.
I did notice that, right. It's a guy now voice from a woman. So, I mean, I don't think it's sexist, but I don't know.
I think it's silly that they changed it in the first place.
People online, a bit more outspoken. This tweet calls it that new monstrous voice and begs, please, for the love of God, make it stop. This asks Sound Transit, is it possible to turn them off? Another says, at Sound Transit, sexist much? And this request, can you turn that S down or go back to the nice lady?
The decision was made to change the voice of the announcements, basically just to get people's attention.
I'm told Sound Transit wasn't worried people would ignore the old voice because it was a woman's. Instead, the change happened because a team evaluated the situation and thought a brand new voice, that just happens to be a man's, would get people to notice the new announcements.
All trains board at the southbound platform.
That was certainly not the intent to, you know, send any sort of statement by it.
And Sound Transit is listening to feedback.
It was like blaring.
And turn down the volume.
Whenever we can, we will, you know, address those complaints. But I think for now, the announcements will stay.
Good for her. Way to hang in there. Defend yourself. People are up sexist much. Come on. They needed the problem was that the people, it's a change on the getting on the trains because of
that's right.
People are... the construction that's happening up the track,
yes.
Right? Okay. So they weren't hearing it.
Yes.
So they said, we need to blast through the noise of everybody.
Yes.
So they get this guy.
The reason they weren't hearing it is because they've heard it probably every day, you know, as they're riding, and they say, we need to kind of catch people's attention. Now, they claim it was accidental. You could have, I suppose, gotten a different woman's voice. It needed to be something different, but an easy choice would be to go from a woman's voice to a man's voice. If it had been a man's voice, then they might have gone to a woman's voice. The idea was it's the change. Not
I think the woman's
gender.
Voice often, I saw the science saying that most often, like for any one of the, you know, can't say the word, begins with an A.
Right.
Or any one of your assistants.
Yeah.
It's a female voice because people tend to trust female voices more than male voices.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a big issue, you know, in airlines, in planes, do you want a certain kind of voice to warn you? And what's more, is it a man's voice or a woman's voice? People respond differently. Mm-hmm. If you want to feel comforted, apparently a woman's voice, and again, this is on a law of averages kind of thing, is more comforting and reassuring.
Yes. So when that's why pilots hear female voices,
yes.
You know, terrain, pull up. Or it even sounds even more mechanical than that. But in this case, you had to have it blast over all the noise, so you go with a male voice. It's just science. It has nothing to do with being a sexist decision. Besides, the guy's not very good. You telling me that you can't find somebody with a professional voice that could have made that announcement? I ask you, Tom. I ask you. John Curley from hijohncurley@gmail.com asks you, Tom, couldn't you find a male voice that would be a bit more pleasing to the human ear?
If the world's greatest charity auctioneer isn't good enough, nobody's good enough.
I was so disappointed when they took me down off of the ferry. So I used to do the announcements on the ferry.
Yeah, but you and a lot of people, I think they're just rotating, John. It was no reflection on you.
They took everybody else down?
Yeah, I hear everybody.
Okay. Plus, how about at SeaTac when they've got guys that are on some failing band? Like,
Hi, I'm Duff McKagan. Who's ever heard of Duff?
No, I didn't say Duff.
You sure sounded
like you were
going
there. I said, there's other guys.
Guns N' Roses?
No,
who are
they? I didn't say him. He's a friend of mine. Other ones.
This is Rick Garrett from Broken Stick. Just want to let you know, here at SeaTac.
It's like, who are you?
Just because you don't know, he's probably Ben Gibbard from
Every time I hear that, I'm like, I can't do that. Why can't I do that? All right, fine.
I had a TV show 10 years
ago.
Come on.
Pete Carroll knows that he can motivate people on the field, off the field, in the locker room. But I think somebody got to Pete Carroll and said, hey, Pete, why don't you take this motivational stuff that you do and let's go corporate with it? Because you can make a ton of money. These old coaches go on stage and get paid $20,000, $50,000 to give speeches in these corporate worlds. You fly in, you give the speech, you fly back out. But if we can expand it out and turn it into a training class where we can teach other people how to do it, we're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars for you, Pete Carroll.
But I don't think that Pete is motivated by the money. He's motivated by trying to improve the world.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's his claim. I love this. When you think of him as coaching, there's nothing that seems more outcome-based than coaching a professional sports team. But he says it's a relationship-based business that he's operating with the Seahawks, not an outcome-based relationship that he has. And so because of that, you know, the teams work better because everyone's trying to polish their own apple in a group setting. Now, to be fair to him, I think he's kind of this kind of way anyway. They say he's a classic Northern Californian kind of Bay Area kind of guy who's open to all these, what some dismiss it as a new age ideas. But he was invited. He used to give these, one-off speeches. He ended up teaming up with this business partner, a guy named Michael Gervais, who's a sports psychologist. He did a presentation to Microsoft with a bunch of Microsoft's top 12 executives. They were so taken with their presentation. They said, oh, my God, we want more. Gervais and Carroll went back to the drawing board, came up with this curriculum called Compete to Create. And it was so popular that now Satya Nadella, who's now the top guy at Microsoft, has all of his top executives take this course. It's taken off, and now they're looking to expand beyond Microsoft to the corporate world. It's going to make you a better person and make you a better company by encouraging everyone to sort of explore and take risks within the context of a company.
Don't you think you have to have the guy come in and explain it, but then the management has to go along with the change in the culture? It's hard to flip those cultures around. They have a thing called the Disney way.
Yeah.
And in Sammamish, when I was on the city council, we brought Disney in to help with the employees.
Huh.
And we only had like 60 full-time employees, so it was easy to culturally start to implement some of the programs that were put in place.
Yeah, like who gets to
and
be
we didn't
Mickey
have
Mouse,
union.
Who gets to be Pluto?
No
characters. Oh, oh, he didn't.
You know,
it wasn't.
Pearls
wasn't
before swine. Pearls before swine. The Disney way, Tom.
I see.
No, it's a whole thing about you're completely and absolutely obsessed with culture, with customer service.
Okay.
That this everything is about the experience of the customer. That how the customer is greeted, how long they're on hold for, what when you use their name and how you respond to them. All these little tiny things that you can do to trick people into thinking that you're providing service.
Oh, it's a man waiting in line.
Disney was the first one that used the serpentine line. that put people on that line.
That was brilliant. Whoever, somebody out of, I don't know if he can patent that, but that was an absolutely brilliant idea.
Yeah, so the Disney way.
Makes this a four-hour wait look like a 40-minute wait.
Plus, they entertain you along the way with various things. But Pete Carroll and the Pete Carroll way, we'll see how that goes for
them. It's profiled in the Seattle Times. I mean, in New York Times, all about the Seattle Seahawks.
Let's see. There's a study that came out saying that raising the minimum wage by $1 may prevent thousands of suicides, the study shows. Is that the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, which is still at $7.50 or something?
$7.25. Yeah, they said that would have, in each state, it would have saved 27,000 lives. And right before, as a joke, I said, I wonder what it would be for $2. They actually did the $2. It would have saved 57,000 suicides.
Ah.
Now, you might say, well, you know, how can you establish, suicide is so personal, how can you establish that? Well, this is the third study in a row that indicates that. What's new about this latest study, because you were saying, I think we've done this before, this third study indicates that the worse the unemployment rate is, or the higher the unemployment rate is, the more effect that $1 is going to play. And I think that makes perfect sense, that if you're out of a job, suicide is one of the things, depression and suicide, it, you know, comes hand in hand with somebody who can't find a job or can't get a job. So that a $1 raise in minimum wage would be more helpful in that kind of economy.
Yeah.
It has less effect otherwise.
So I looked to see, I took two charts. I got number of people making minimum wage, and then I got suicide charts. I laid one over top of the other. So in 1980, 15% of the workforce was making that federal minimum wage.
Wow, okay.
15%. By 2019, it's down to 2% of the workforce.
In how many years?
From 1980 to 2019.
Wow. Okay, so basically 40 years.
Just come
dropped
down.
Wow.
Oh, it's only 2%. Yeah. More than half are under the age of 24, live at home with their parents. There's a tiny percentage of people that rely on that minimum wage. Normally, they only have that minimum wage because they move up, they get a bonus or something like that after 8 months.
Oh, and I realize, is this the federal minimum wage?
Yes.
Okay, well, yeah, because you can't live on the federal minimum wage.
Well, this isn't, are they talking about this? They're talking about state by state.
They're talking about state by state, but raising it by $1. So there are a lot of states that have a lower minimum wage.
Right, but I got federal numbers. These are federal numbers.
Okay,
so I didn't realize. Because state by state, you'd have to look at all the different ones.
Yeah.
Then I wanted to find out the suicide. So suicide leapt in 1988-89 as the economy went into that recession.
Okay,
then again, it took a it spiked back up again in, of course, 2008 and 2009. It went back up again.
Yeah.
Most of the people that are killing themselves are male. Most of them are lower to middle class. And the majority of them have some college or a college degree that kill themselves.
Really? Because this says in this particular study that they focus on less educated adults because they're the ones more likely to earn minimum wage. And that it had, also have a higher risk of depression and suicide. It did not, raising the minimum wage did not seem to affect whether college graduates would die by suicide.
Uh-huh.
So they say that at that level of education, maybe there's more hope that the economy was going to eventually break in their favor if you have a college degree.
Well, this must also do an analysis because, according to the CBO, that every time you raise minimum wage, it does reduce the number of jobs that people get because it begins to. It makes it more expensive to hire somebody. Did you see the story? We didn't get a chance to do it yesterday. I hope you got to read it. The people at Starbucks were mad that they weren't getting more money and weren't getting more hours. So the Starbucks said, oh, I'll tell you what we'll do for you. We'll give you the Headspace app, which will allow you to meditate. And that's, remember, the Headspace app is not free.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll pay that.
It's like $68 a year or something.
Yeah. So we'll pay that for you. So although we have cut your hours because of Obamacare and because of the increase.
Because of Obamacare.
Sure it was. And because of Obamacare.
Of minimum
because,
wage.
Right, if you the person works more than 30 hours, you have to provide health care for them. So they cut the hours. Plus, as the cost of them went up, they cut their hours as well. And now, by the way, Starbucks, don't be upset. You can meditate.
It was a snarky article pointing out that rather than raising the rate the wages of their stressed out employees, they gave them a way to cope with the lower wages through a meditation.
That's thoughtful.
It was pretty clever. Well, it might work with some people. I don't doubt that, but it does seem like it's a corporate cost saving move. But still, better have that than not, maybe.
Beatings will continue until morale improves.
Right.
Jossie Somat. Eventually, I will get his name right by the time he starts to do some jail time.
Yes.
All right. So he's the guy that was one of the many that fake these hate hoax crimes. And the prosecutor basically dismissed the case, right? Isn't that just sort of said, you know what? Just go, right?
Yeah. They also dropped the search of who beat him up.
It was two Trumpers walking around at 2 o'clock in the morning with a gallon of Clorox. So now a judge has said, we will allow you to go forward and figure out why the case was dropped, and is there more evidence that was not brought up? So they went ahead and they said to Google, Google, release all emails between Jassy and his lawyer, or not his lawyer, his agent, and then dig around and find other stuff as well. The question now hangs on Google. Will Google turn over this information?
Oh, I didn't realize that now it was up to Google to decide whether they're going to do it or not. I thought that with a court order, I thought most of these companies say, you get a court order, we will abide by the court order. I hadn't heard that that's the latest issue. But, yeah, they're looking for the actor's Google search history for like a – it happened between January and March, yeah. The big brouhaha, but they're asking for the entire year leading up to that to see if they could find anything out. We don't know what it'll what it may generate, but a judge did sign off on the warrants to make that request.
Because Google is ordered to turn the stuff over, but remember when the federal government, I guess it was the, I don't know who it was that asked Apple, hey, build a backdoor get into some of these phones, and they refused to do that as well. So the idea that, you know, you can't come in there and tell us to do it. What I want to find out is, did the prosecutor, did she cave? I think her last name is Fox. Did she cave on this thing, or did somebody write to her telling her, drop the whole thing and move on and just let them off the hook? And the police are still upset, saying, we put a lot of hours into this.
So is the mayor. I mean, everybody is upset. I don't know if she thought she was scoring political points, who she was scoring political points with, because everybody in town was mad.
Mm-hmm. And you can make $100,000 if you work at Taco Bell. Is that true?
Yeah. So they are now, because employment is doing so well.
Yes.
Right
Thank
now.
You. Thank you.
They
Donald
are
Trump.
Having they are having a hard time finding positions. Taco Bell may not have the most august reputation. If you see yourself as a corporate giant, mm-hmm. Taco Bell has a kind of a fast food feel to it. And they say, you know what? We're going to start paying top dollar. Uh-huh. We are going to offer managers who now make on average between 60 and 80 grand a mm-hmm. year. We are going to start offering jobs, kind of a test case, in the Midwest for 100 grand. You can make 100 grand if you will become a Taco Bell manager, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a test of the market. They just say that, yeah, that's really, that's something that they want to try to do because they're having a hard time keeping quality people. Well, if you start paying them, six figures, that's really something. So, the person who's taking your order at the counter, they're not making 100 grand. But if you are the manager of that Taco Bell,
because you're competing against a whole bunch of other companies that are offering $100,000, so you want to get good people to get in there.
That's right. That's what they figure they can, sort of turn things around by getting the best quality people. And it's true, as you say, John. It's a capitalist market system.
That's the way it works. It's called freedom. Jacob, tell us a little bit about the individual that's going to be playing the know-it-all quiz. How exciting is this going to be for everybody?
He says he's taught over 200 kids how to wakeboard.
Okay, good.
That's good radio.
Anything else?
He's a realtor.
All right, and?
I don't want to give too much away.
Leave him hanging for more.
Too late.
Over your head. Okay, Lake Washington Windows and Doors, thanks a lot for sponsoring the Tom McCurley Show. And this... the best of the best of the best of the best. This is, of course, the know-it-all quiz. You get a chance to win fabulous prizes, which are written down on a piece of fabulous paper, which are now no longer in my hand. Tom, say something. Hey, Tom. Red button. You broadcast like a professional. Here we go. You ready? Don't forget the...
You're the one that needed the fill-in.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if when you turn your mic on. Where are you?
It's
funnier
without.
Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, may I just say.
Yes. I'm Robert Redford.
All right, fine. There were two of them standing there to jump over the thing, and they're like, hey, we're going to jump. He goes, are we going to survive? Whatever it was. And he goes, this fall is probably going to kill us.
Yeah.
It's that funny repartee between the two,
exactly.
But they've got each other's back.
Exactly. That's why it's funnier when I don't turn on my...
You're going to win tickets to Seattle Opera's Eugene...
Onegin.
Thank you. Plus six tickets to the Seattle...
The boat show.
Okay, there we go. I like your Sundance. Are you Sundance or Butch Cassidy? Who are you?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Yeah, I think
you
I'm the Sundance Kid.
You're the kid. Yeah. There he is, still over there, waiting to hear from possible employers. That's Mike, who has sent his resume out. And whenever he has to sit in that chair, he acts like he's checking us our Facebook page out. But really, he's fiercely sending resumes out. Hey, Mike, what's your job objective, and how many people do we have watching right now? 21 altogether.
Wow.
I thought I could fool him.
He needed more than those two hands of fingers.
Here we go. Let's meet our contestant for the know-it-all quiz.
Who's that?
His name is Doug. And he lives on Mercer Island.
He's a realtor. We specialize in helping elderly people clean out their houses. This week, while he's helping a client, he found a bowl full of dentures. And he's taught over 200 kids how to wakeboard. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, Doug, when a bowl full of dentures, is that a big bowl or a small bowl?
Yeah, it was just a small cereal bowl full of my dentures. Yeah, maybe really about six pairs.
Interesting. Do you have any of them in your mouth right now? It sounds like you do.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't. This is the new iPhone quality that you're working with.
Oh, good one.
Bowl full of dentures. Were the dentures, were you working with somebody whose dentures they were, or were they just lost dentures found in the basement?
I think they were old used dentures that were no longer needed.
Hey, how come you've gotten into the helping elderly people clean out their houses?
Because they need it, and they need somebody that's trustworthy and can deal with all the different stuff that people accumulate over the many years that they live in one location.
Uh-huh. And what do you sort through it with them? I mean, do you ask them each item? Does this bring you joy? How do you do that?
I sort through it with them, or sometimes I work with them to remove wherever they're moving to. If they're still with us, take what you want or need that brings you joy and will fit into your new location. Or a lot of times I work with estates also that we're have the family through, and once the family's through, then it's donation time and so forth.
Have you ever had to wrestle an old lady for something?
Not yet. No. Not yet. All right. Besides my wife.
She's not listening.
He's happily married, Tom.
Happily married. Many years. Yeah.
And by the way, Tom was sort of said, "Well, how hard is it to teach somebody how to wakeboard?" That's what Tom said during the commercial break.
It's actually not too bad if you have the right boat and the right equipment. It's really not too bad. Usually 3-4 tries I can get somebody up and going.
And where do you do it? Do you do it, just off Mercer Island? Do you go to a special space?
Yeah, Lake Washington for me has gotten a little too busy. We have a place over in Eastern Washington on Blue Lake.
Okay.
We really like, and we'll spend some time up in North Idaho at Priest Lake.
Priest Lake. I love Priest Lake.
I've done a lot of boating in Shoreland, too.
Yeah. Well, I recommend, Doug, that if you do it in person. Don't do it over the phone. They'll never be able to understand what you're telling them. All right, Tone and Tanner, if everything we established with your crappy phone connection.
Do you want to try the speaker?
Whatever you're doing now, if you have the empty soup can in your right hand, switch it over to the left hand.
Does this sound better?
Oh, there you go.
Infinitely.
Yes. Hey.
All right. Tone of inheritance changes now. You ready?
Okay. Sounds good.
Whenever you listen to the show, and hopefully you do listen to the show, do you agree with me, John Curley, libertarian conservative, or do you agree with Tom, socialist at heart?
I tend to agree with John.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Wrong! Low bar done.
I know.
How many does he need to get right, Tom?
Two.
Here we go.
Okay. I bar.
So insulting. Here we go. For the 21 people watching on Facebook, new research out this week that did not get by the Tom and Curly Show. According to the latest study, cat owners are less likely to do this. Do what, Tom?
A, go to church. B, exercise. Or C, win the Triple Crown of horse racing. A government-funded study costing more than $3 million wanted to know if winning jockeys were cat owners.
Gosh, C sounds really close, but I'm going to go with B.
Both seem right, A and B, but the answer is what, Tom?
A, go to church.
That's right, it is A, go to church. Here we go. At this point, how
Nobody
many...
Nobody goes to church around here, though.
I know. But especially cat owners.
Well, they're especially less likely.
Tom, at this point, how many does Doug, 55-year-old realtor from Mercer Island that steals old people's teeth out of cereal bowls, have correct?
He's 0 for 1, but he's got four more chances,
here
John.
Here we go. Unemployed quarterback Colin Kaepernick shared his reaction to the death of the Iranian terrorist this week when he tweeted what, Tom?
A, USA, USA, USA. Not a Trump fan, but we throw bombs the way I still can. Hashtag hire me. B, there is nothing new about American terrorist attacks against black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism. Or C, America should fly the flag at half staff. That bro didn't deserve that. Hashtag honor him.
Oh, gosh. I missed this one on your radio this week. John, can you give me some hints here?
Well,
I'm going with B.
Yeah. So by the way, the reason you missed it, we never did it.
Here's the thing. Usually I know all the answers, obviously, because I'm the producer.
I know, you were not here.
I only know the answer to two of these five questions.
Because you were having bowel problems.
Yes.
All right, here we go. This is, sorry about that. I snuck that by him, didn't I? Here we go, a three. Tommy's got one right at this point. Change is coming to Washington State when it comes to the proper disposal of dreaded plastic bags. What are the good people of Washington supposed to do with their plastic bags now, Tom?
Hey. According to a new law, each plastic bag must be thoroughly cleaned with a 6-to-1 water rate to bleach mix, and then cut into small pieces and placed in an orange plastic receptor for curbside pickup. B. Residents of Washington State must bring all plastic bags to a state-designated plastic bag recycling center. Or C. Don't put it in the recycling bin!
Well, A and B sounds like the options the government would want us to do, but I'm going to go with C.
Yes!
Figured it out.
Two for two, you are a winner!
We still have to keep
already
going.
Already, that's right.
Hang on, Doug. People say that taking LSD, mushrooms, and marijuana and watching what on television is more enjoyable and makes more sense, Tom?
Not exactly on TV, but the movie Cats, B, the National Democratic Debate, or C, nothing. The screens are blank and the TVs are not turned on.
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one because I don't have any personal experience in this area. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to go with A.
Hey, there you are. Hey. You can help them out. And finally, here we are. This is Jacob's addition to the...
Throwing him under the bus, aren't you, John?
We both agree that it's not good material this week to make jokes. Here we go. You ready? Older men in Silicon Valley are participating in this activity previously reserved for women. Which one is it, Tom?
A, gossiping. It all started when those Jeff Bezos sexts leaked, and now everyone won't stop spilling everyone else's secrets. B, getting Botox injections. Or C, sitting down to pee. They realize they can write more code in the bathroom if they're not standing up at a urinal.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
That's good.
Gosh, there's a couple of good options there. Let's see, with women. C?
Just pick another one.
It was
C.
Hey! You got 3.5 right.
Sorry, we'll take it. All right, so you get a chance to find yourself at, Tom,
a boat in an opera.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Two tickets, Seattle Opera's Eugene Onegin.
Onegin.
Plus six tickets to the boat show as well. So get yourself a boat and then head on over. Besides, when you do teach wakeboarding, I assume you already own a boat, right?
I do, so I'm not sure my wife will let me go to the boat show.
All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot for listening to the show. Stay on the line. Jacob's got a few slightly uncomfortable questions for you, and we certainly do appreciate you listening to the show, and thanks for the good work that you do with those that need extra help that are considered elderly.
That's right.
Thank you.
Doug. Thanks for playing.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And how many people tuned in now, Mike? How many come?
27.
Whoa! All right, here we go in the air. Yeah. All right, now watch this. High heat. Shush up. This was in my back, Butch.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, we got to do truncated. Mailman, okay? Because we got a lot of letters, and we went along with our buddy Dave. Tom kept asking about dentures in a bowl.
That was his name, Dave. It was Doug.
Oh, thank you. Well, you screwed up the name of the guy from Green Bay.
Strike
three. Shut quiet. Here comes the mailman.
How did I screw up something with Green
Bay? When you said goodbye to him, you gave him the wrong name.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Teeny Tiny. Where's the Teeny Tiny? Man, it is a Friday.
Hello!
Over there. All right, let's get started, Tom.
Starts off commenting about our clothing. Tom and John's clothing, 206. Guys, what's up with the matching sweaters?
Mine's turtleneck. Tom's is not.
Yes. Mine's dark blue. Yours is sort of a forest gray.
All right. Articles of Impeachment 360 says, wow, Nancy Pelosi sure showed what a masterful strategist she is. Mitch McConnell must be shaking in his boots.
I don't know. She got 2 weeks coverage out of it. 253. And the next Speaker of the House is AOC.
Seahawks. He needs a Dutch oven to take DK down with or without the lobster.
That's as opposed to a frying pan. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Go back to your little thing.
And Gloria in the 707. Uh-huh. Did anyone think of kidnapping Danica Patrick? She's Aaron Rodgers' muse, and she sold her Lamborghini so she'd be easier to catch. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Epstein killing himself. Nick from Orca says, how does John know about MSNBC's Rachel Maddow is saying about Jeffrey Epstein? He didn't own a TV 5 minutes ago.
Zing. And 206.
Even Zing
is a comment. I have worked with reviewing and storing. Moving on. I have worked with reviewing and storing security footage. Faulty cameras and storage of said footage happens, and there are time limits. Yet the confluence of events here looks highly suspicious on any level. Agreed.
We're talking about ways for work. 253 says, if you don't like a tracking app on your cell phone, you don't want to become a truck driver. I have cameras looking on my windshield, out my windshield, cameras looking at me 24 hours a day. They say that it's for our own safety, but I call shenanigans on that.
And we hear from Larry in accounting. Speaking of gender fluid, never mind. Saying that might get me fired.
How about that? You see that? He's kind of learning.
He's learning.
Okay, when it comes to the light rail voice, Fox Island G says, how dare you, John? Alan Stone is a local treasure. I never said Alan Stone.
As the new male voice for the Sound Transit System, Chris Sullivan, kind of sounds like him.
And Andy from the Road Less Travel, hi-ho, and happened frickin' Friday, fellas. I'm here to help you, so unasked, I did a brief Googleization, and it seems the reason John was removed from the Washington State Ferry announcement is that people were getting trampled in the stampede for beer and wine the minute his voice came over the PA. Glad to help, fellas, and have a great weekend.
On Silicon Valley Men Story 360, Elon Musk is a great example. Look up a picture of him when he launched PayPal. He was balder than John used to be.
Gee whiz, Wes and Puyallup. I've been to that juice bar yoga place in Bali. Didn't do a thing for me, except my body was super sore and I was starving.
And 253, I was a programmer for 40 years. I retired at age 65 and proud of it. Those youngsters can have the new development. Give me a system that needs to be maintained. Don't have to look pretty to do that job.
Let's see, random pizza question, 425, bringing up the past. Did Pagliacci Pizza location, can I order the curly special? I don't think so, not anymore. They used to have it. It was cheese and ham.
And on Tim Iman, 425, says, Tim, don't steal the chair. Wow, our governor has no class. He could take the high road, but instead he chose the low road.
He did the joke three times in record show and didn't get one laugh.
And now it is time for the letter
of
the day.
I commented.
Letter of the day again, John. 253. We nominate Tom Tangney for the new, more pleasing male voice of Sound Transit Light Rail. Where do I sign up?
Wow. All right, how about that?
The only guy who supports Light Rail here.
Out of time. Bye-bye.